A very good morning, brothers and sisters, people of God. Good morning and a Merry Christmas. This year is very special, for my sermon message has ended. That is the message I want to share this morning. It is indeed a great honor and privilege for me this morning to share God's word. Shall we join our hearts together to pray? Father Lord, thank you as we celebrate Christmas. We remember of your love for humanity, that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, God becoming man, so that he can die for us on the cross. Lord, as I share your word, may your Holy Spirit anoint my lips, may your word goes forth and touch the hearts of all your people this morning, and that you will transform life this morning. We thank you and praise you. In Christ's precious name we pray, amen. Christmas is actually a celebration of the birthday of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born 2,000 years ago. And this morning, there are at least 2.4 billion people in the world that is celebrating the birthday of Jesus. None of us. Our birthday is celebrated in such a massive scale. Why is it that 2.4 billion people around the world is celebrating Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ? Because the birth of Jesus Christ is the most important event that took place in human history. And the birth of Jesus Christ is so important that the birth of Christ has been taken as the reference point for dating time. This year is 2024. And what it means is that this year is 2024 years after the birth of Jesus Christ. And we call it AD, which is the Latin word Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord. The year our Lord was born, 2,024 years ago. And before our Lord was born, we date time as BC, meaning before Christ, and we count time backwards. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt that the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord, has changed human history forever. The world will not be the same ever again. Because before Jesus came, the world was in the mess, and we saw just now a big mess. And indeed, the Bible tells us that before Jesus came, all humanity, you and me, we are God's enemies. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve that we have inherited, every one of us has inherited from our forefathers the DNA of sin. And the Bible tells us, because of your iniquities, because of your sin, because of your rebellion, because of your wickedness, that has separated all of us from God. And God will not hear us. God will hide his face for us. And man was without hope. And man was without a future. And it's only when Jesus came 2,000 years ago that man became reconciled. Man's relationship with God that was separated became restored through the birth of Jesus Christ, who died in our place. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I'm going to unpack and do an exposition of the 8 verses in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. And the first verse says that this is how the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, he had in mind, Joseph, to divorce Mary quietly. But after he has considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what was conceived in her was through the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. And I want to summarize these 8 verses regarding the birth of Jesus Christ to only 3 points. First point is that the birth of Jesus Christ tells us that Jesus is God, and he is fully God and nothing but God. At the same time, the verse this morning tell us that Jesus is fully man and he is fully man. And because Jesus, his birth was fully God and he was fully man, he can save all humanity. The first point, Jesus is God. We learn from the birth of Jesus that Joseph and Mary was pledged. Pledge means they are engaged, they are betrothed. You know, when I was a young boy, I know not today, when I was a young boy and during Jesus' time, people don't just get married like that, you know. You know, I love you, you love me, we get married and that's it. No. When I was a young boy and during Jesus' time, before people get married, you have to be pledged to one another. You have to engage with one another. You have to be betrothed to one another. When you are betrothed and pledged like Mary and Joseph, officially, you are husband and wife. The only thing is, you do not consummate your marriage. You do not stay and live together. And after you are engaged and betrothed or pledged, 1 year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, then you get married and you stay together. And that was what happened to Joseph and Mary. Before they came together to stay together, to consummate their marriage, Mary, Joseph's wife officially, was pregnant. But Mary was special. God's favor rested on Mary, and Mary's pregnancy was through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is unprecedented. It has never happened in human history where a woman who is a virgin, who has no sexual relationship, but yet is pregnant. And the Bible tells us this pregnancy is a miracle and an impossibility. All of us, we know, and I'm a doctor, I can tell you, and even you know without me telling you, that in a normal pregnancy, there must be a union of the female's ova and the male sperm. It is only when the two come together and then they unite to become what we call a zygote or a cell that can multiply. And over the 9 months, this union or zygote, they multiply and develop into a human baby that will be delivered in 9 months. But in such a kind of pregnancy and conception and birth, the seed is from the man, the seed is from the woman, and because the man and woman are sinful, the son that is born will also be sinful. But that is not the case for Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there was no union at all. The conception of Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary was purely through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. And because the conception of Jesus in Mary's womb was not through man, but through God, when Jesus was born, he had no DNA of man. He was completely sinless. He has no DNA of man. He is without sin. And that is the first point. It's so important that we must realize that Jesus' conception was totally God. There was totally no human involvement. And that is why the Bible this morning emphasized that the virgin conceived Jesus, and it is the virgin that gave birth to Jesus. And this took place because to fulfill what God said 700 years ago, in 700 BC, there was a prophet of God by the name of Isaiah. And if you read Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah already prophesied 700 earlier that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So Jesus is fully God, and he is fully with us on earth in human form. Brothers and sisters, there is no book like the Bible. Nobody can show me a book where there is a prophecy 700 years earlier, 300 years earlier, and then becomes fulfilled. It is only in the Bible where prophecy after prophecy, hundreds and hundreds of prophecy, hundreds of years earlier, become fulfilled in the future. And there are still prophecies in the Bible that yet to be fulfilled in the future. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of the prophecy by Isaiah is irrefutable proof that the Bible indeed is the Word of God and God truly exists. There's no doubt, because some scholars say the Bible consists of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But what is the Old Testament? The Old Testament is nothing but Jesus Christ concealed. And what about the New Testament? The New Testament is nothing except it is Jesus Christ revealed. The Old Testament contains at least 300-400 prophecies about Jesus Christ, and the New Testament is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus Christ. There's no book in the world where such thing can be fulfilled. So, brothers and sisters, there's no doubt in our mind that the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is actually God coming down from heaven to earth in human bodily form like you and me. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 goes on to say that for in Christ, all the fullness of God, of deity, lives in bodily form. But you may ask, hey, how did Jesus from God become human? You know, for us, man become God, not possible. But for God to become human, it is possible. But how can it happen? And the Bible tells us, and this is how it happened. For God to become human, God must empty himself. God must make himself nothing. God must humble himself to become nothing. And that is what Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, that Jesus emptied himself of everything that is God. He did not want to take advantage of his nature as God, but he emptied himself and became nothing, so that from God he became man. And not only that, Jesus further humbled himself. Then only he became man, he also was obedient to death. And not only he was obedient to death, he humbled himself further, the third step, by being obedient to death on the cross. None of us want to die on the cross. It is the most agonizing death and shameful death. As you hung there, people will spit at you, people will curse at you. None of us want to die like Jesus Christ. But yet our Lord, Jesus Christ, because He loves us, He is willing from God to become man and man to be obedient to death and death even on the cross. This is proof that God loves us. And God's and Christ's divinity is essential for salvation because salvation must be an act of God. And the Bible tells us none of us can save each other. Can you save me? Can I save you? Nobody can save. Only God can save. God is in heaven. And that is why the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43 that the Lord, apart from Him, there is no Savior. Our Savior must only come from heaven, and that is God Himself. So, brothers and sisters, the birth and salvation involves the three persons in one Godhead. God the Father sent Jesus down from heaven to earth. Jesus, God, was born of the Virgin Mary, and the Holy Spirit was the one that conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. And many times when we read the Bible, we wonder, you know, why is that there is this one God that we believed? And sometimes our brothers from other religion, you know, they will tell me, you all Christians believe in three God. You know, three God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. I said, no, the Bible never say we believe in three God. We believe in one God, but that one God exists in three persons. The three persons that have three different personalities and different function. And this is sometimes what we call a mystery. One God, one substance, three persons, and three persons in one substance. They coexist, they co-eternal, and they co-empower. And it is almost an impossibility. You know, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, he says that if you want to understand this Holy Trinity, it's just like asking the worm to understand man, you know. Can a worm understand a man? If a worm cannot understand a man, then a man cannot understand the works of the God. And three in one, one in three is a mystery. And St. Augustine says that if you try to understand the Trinity, you will lose your mind. You become crazy and mad. But if you deny the Holy Trinity, you will lose your soul and your salvation. And that is why the Bible says that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. And Holy Trinity is something that man cannot understand unless men want to become like God. And so when St. Augustine was trying to understand this Trinity in salvation, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he was walking, you know, he stayed in, you know, in Algeria, North Africa at that time, fronting the Mediterranean Sea, and then he was trying to reconcile Holy Trinity, one God in three persons in one God, and he was trying to analyze and trying to reason, trying to understand. Suddenly he saw the boy. And the boy was digging a hole in the beach, a big hole in the beach. And then the boy ran to the water, and then he scooped the Mediterranean Sea, the seawater, and put into the hole that man created. And then he put the water into the hole, and then he ran to the Mediterranean Sea, and then he take the seawater and put it in the hole. He's trying to fill the man-made hole by the Mediterranean Sea. That is an impossibility. And then he understood that we are to accept by faith that in salvation, in the creation, in the birth of Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was involved. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you will know they produce quarrels. It is futile. It is of no use that we want to discuss things that are mysterious. The things that are mysterious belong to God. The things that are revealed belongs to man. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And Mark Twain goes on to say that for all of us, it applies. It is not those parts of the Bible that I don't understand that are having problem. It is those part of the Bible that I understand that I have trouble because I even can't practice those part I do understand. You know, the Pharisees, they try to understand the Bible inside out. The person that actually understand the Bible inside out are the Pharisees. Not only they understand the Bible, they added on many other man-made laws into their Bible. For example, if you go to Israel today, on a Saturday, you will not have hot food. Because to the teachers of the law, in their mind, when God say, thou shall rest on the Sabbath day, it means that on the Sabbath day, the Jewish people cannot cook, you know. So if you go to a Jewish house or a Jewish hotel, on the Saturday, there's no hot food. It's all cold food. And then on the Saturday, you have to take the special leaf called the Sabbath leaf, you know. Because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are so scrupulous. They say, thou shalt rest on the Sabbath. It means that you cannot press the lift, the button, because when you press the button, there's electricity, there's spark, and that is work, you know. So in Israel, on the Sabbath, you actually have to take a special lift, and that is called the Sabbath lift. That the lift, you don't have to press any button. You just wait, and then the lift door will open, you enter, there's no button, you know, you cannot press. And then the lift will go up one floor, open, next floor, open, next floor, open, and then when you reach your floor, you open, then you go out. But if the lift is going down and you're going up, then God help you. And so when the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they know the Bible so much, they want to test Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you know the Bible more than us or not? We know a lot, you know. So they test Jesus. The Bible say, Jesus, tell us this whole Bible summarized into one sentence. And Jesus did, because Jesus knew the Bible inside out. And Jesus said, actually, I will summarize the whole Bible to you. And that is love God and love your neighbor. That is all in the Bible. And you know, amazing thing happens in my house. A few days ago, and this is Advent season. Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, means coming of Jesus. You know, a few days ago, my mother-in-law, 92 years old, she had terminal cancer. 3 years ago, she had cancer breast that has spread from the head to toe. The PET scan showed that everything has spread. And then she received treatment, and a few days ago, she called my wife, Elaine, please come down to her room. And this was very special because she said, for the first time, my mother-in-law said, Elaine, you need to bring a chair. I want to talk to you. Wow. When your mother tell you that, you know that something very serious is going to happen. You please take a chair and you sit down. I want to talk to you. And my mother-in-law is illiterate, just like my mother. My mother is a rubber tapper. Also illiterate, don't know how to read and write. They are Christians. My mother-in-law and my mother are Christians for 30, 40 years. They don't know how to read and write. They don't have the Bible. But I must tell you that they are one of the most faithful Christians I have ever met. And so when my wife sat down, she told Elaine, you know what? There's this angel, this person by the name of Gabriel. He came and talked to me, you know. And he tell me that because I'm a good person, tomorrow I'm going to go to heaven. And then not only in heaven, she said that in heaven, I'm going to get married. Wow, this is in Revelation, you know. When we go to heaven, we are the bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. And she never read the Bible and she has this revelation. And also Gabriel. She said, Gabriel. We never tell her Gabriel, you know. This Advent season, you know, who is the angel that came down to visit Mary and Elizabeth this season? Gabriel. And she can tell us, Gabriel told her that tomorrow she will die and then she will go up to heaven and have a wedding because she's a good person. And not only that, Gabriel said that your daughter Elaine and your son-in-law are good people. And so you need to bless them with long life. Wow, again, it blew my mind. That is also in the Bible. So next morning, we were waiting, you know. She said, next morning, she's going to die. And then she told my wife, hey, you have these few cans of anaka, few cans of anaka, take all the anaka away. Tomorrow die, how to eat? This key, you know, my key, my precious thing there, no more already. I going to remove all my precious thing, whatever little money, whatever little thing I have. Elaine, you take everything, take my key, I clear off my room. I want to meet with Jesus. So next morning, I told my wife, hey, let's wake up earlier. Let's go and open the door. Alama, my mother-in-law is still alive. And, and she told Elaine, I'm so disappointed with God. Because Gabriel definitely told me I'm going to go and have a wedding in heaven. But now I'm still alive. Elaine, please give me some more medicine. Please buy some more anaka. Hey, give back my key to me. I still want my key. So brothers and sisters, you don't need very much to become a good Christian. Jesus say you can summarize the whole Bible by loving God and loving your neighbor. And now we are in the New Testament time, not in the Old Testament time. In the Old Testament time, God's law is written on the tablet of stone that is outside. But in the New Testament time, God will write His law not on the tablet of stone outside, but in the tablet of our heart inside. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Indeed, my mother-in-law is a godly person. And indeed, God has spoken to her to tell her about this Gabriel and wedding thing, you know. I think when I go back, I need to learn from her more about the Bible. And then my mother, 107 years old, last year, she was very sick. I remember a few years ago in the hospital, she was having septicemia, she having mouth ulcer, 100 over years old. Time to go lah. So she was in the hospital, I remember very clearly, at around 12 midnight, myself, my wife and my daughter, we went to the hospital, and then my mother, again illiterate, don't know how to read the Bible, don't know how to, and then she told me, Kim Ting, come nearer. Because she was very sick, dying, you know. So I went nearer next to her mouth. She said, saya selalu kacau lu orang. Saya selalu kacau orang, selalu saya sakit. Selalu lu orang susah-susah jaga saya. Then she said something that surprised me. You know what? I want to bless you with long life. Wow. Again, I don't know where my mother knew these words of the Bible in Ephesians, you know. That if you honor your father and mother, God will bless you with long life, you know. And my mother knew it. And then he called, Elaine, Mari. Then next to her mouth, again, my mother said, I only disturb you my whole life. Every time I'm sick, you all take care of me for 30, 40 years. I don't have anything to give you. My mother have no money, not even 10 cents. But what I have, I give you and I bless you with long life. And then next, my daughter, again, she called my daughter, come next to my mouth and I want to bless you with long life. So brothers and sisters, we have enough knowledge of the Bible to live a good, faithful, godly life. So regarding the birth of Jesus, number one, when Jesus come down on earth, He is fully God, and at the same time, He is fully man. Because the Bible tells us that when he heard that his wife, that is engaged, not married, is pregnant, wow, he was actually not happy. He must have slept with another man. So, but Joseph, like you and me, we are good people. So good people, we will not do bad things. So he said, I will divorce Mary quietly so that she will not be subject to public disgrace. If Joseph go and like Star newspaper going and expose that Mary is pregnant, she become an adulteress and they will stone her to death. And Joseph was a good man, so she wanted to divorce Mary quietly. But then as she was sleeping, Joseph, an angel appeared to him. And then the angel said, you know, hey Joseph, your wife, Mary, is pregnant, not because of other men. is through the Holy Spirit. And because Mary, your future wife, pregnancy is legitimate, you are to take him back to your home, and then he will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And so Joseph, he took Mary back. He did not consummate the marriage. And then Mary gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. So brothers and sisters, the conception of Jesus was supernatural by the Holy Spirit. However, the birth of Jesus Christ was not supernatural. It was natural like you and me. It was through a woman's womb. So Jesus is fully man. And we know that Jesus is fully man when he was on earth because he needed to grow up like you and me. Jesus, he was a baby in the manger. He needed to drink milk. He needed to do all the function, bodily function. After 1 month, he grew bigger. After 1 year, he grew bigger in stature. And then after 10 years, 20 years, he continued to grow. So Jesus behaved exactly like a man, and Jesus is fully man. And Jesus also can get hungry one. The Bible says Jesus also can become hungry. Jesus also got feeling one. No? When he heard that Lazarus, his good friend, died, Jesus also wept. Jesus also cried. So brothers and sisters, although Jesus' conception was fully God, but Jesus on earth was fully man, and his function and behavior is just like man. So Jesus is fully in human flesh. And that is what John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus was with the disciple. Jesus was with the thousands of people. He fed the 5,000. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So Jesus was a man, a fully man when he was on earth. And it is so important that Jesus became man. It is so important. Jesus did not remain in heaven and say, hey, you all down there, you want to believe me, just surrender your life to me. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus came down from God to become man. But why do he do that? It's actually unnecessary, isn't it? We think it is unnecessary for Jesus to come down to become man. But then the Bible tells us there's a reason why Jesus had to come down to become man, so that he can empathize with us in our weakness. And Jesus was tempted in every way, but yet he did not sin. So why did Jesus have to come down as man? So that as man, he can empathize with us. And this is what happened, brothers and sisters. Before Jesus started his ministry on earth, at the age of 30, Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. And he was tempted in all ways, like all of us today, we are tempted in all ways, which is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when Jesus was hungry after 40 days of fasting, the devil approached Jesus. Hey, Jesus, you are hungry, isn't it? 40 days didn't eat. Can you turn the stone to bread and then you feed yourself? But Jesus said, for it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from God. So Jesus was tempted and he won. And then the Satan said, okay, second one, emotional temptation, the pride of life. Then Satan took Jesus up to the highest point of the temple and said, Jesus, You are God's child, isn't it? Jump down from the temple. Jump down from the temple. See God will save you or not. And Jesus said, for it is written that man shall not subject God to testing. Again, he defeated Satan. And lastly, the psychological temptation, the lust of the eyes. The Satan took Jesus to the highest mountain and tell Jesus, look at the whole world. It belongs to me. Hey, Jesus, you bow down before me, worship me, then I will give you the world. But Jesus said, no. For it is written that we shall worship the God only. So Jesus became man so that he can empathize with us. To empathize is very different from to sympathize. Empathize means you go through the same experience and you understand that experience. Sympathize means you don't go through the experience, but you just have a feeling of pity. It is like a lady, a lady has breast cancer. So she go and see this lady doctor. Then the lady doctor told her, "No, I'm very sorry to share with you the bad news. The biopsy has come back. It is cancer of the breast. And now I have to do a few things. Number one, I have to do surgery. There's going to be pain. And then after that, I'm going to give you chemotherapy. And then there were a lot of side effects. After that, I'm going to give you the radiotherapy. And then you have scarring, you have swelling, a lot of problem." So the patient became very sad. Then the doctor said, "Never mind. You know what? I myself have breast cancer, you know." The doctor said, "I myself have breast cancer, no. I also went for surgery. I also went for chemotherapy. I also went for the radiotherapy." Immediately, the patient was comforted because she knew that the patient, that the doctor has can empathize with her because the doctor has gone through the same experience. And that is what Jesus did. And that is why Jesus had to come down from heaven to earth so that he can empathize with us. And I was reading this book by Philip Yancey called The Jesus I Never Knew. And Philip Yancey said that one day he has this seawater aquarium with a lot of beautiful fishes inside. And one day, as he was cleaning the aquarium, putting his hand inside, you know, cleaning the aquarium, feeding the fish all was jumping in great fear. And then a thought came to his mind that it would be good if Philip Yancey himself actually incarnate and become a fish and then enter into the fish and the fish will not jump around. And in the same way, he says that Jesus came down from heaven to earth is like Jesus becoming the fish in the aquarium so that he can empathize with the fish. And in this case, he can empathize with us. And it is crucial that Jesus became man and did not sin. Man cannot empathize man. Because all men, when you go through temptation, you will fail. And when all men fail, when they are tempted, that means they cannot feel the whole weight, the full extent of sin. But Jesus was different. Jesus can empathize because Jesus did not sin when he was tempted, which means that Jesus went through the full extent of sin. Jesus went through the full weight of sin, and yet he did not sin. And that is why only Jesus can empathize with us. So, brothers and sisters, regarding the birth of Jesus, Jesus is fully God. Number two, Jesus is fully man. And because Jesus is fully God and fully man, Jesus can save man. And that is what verse 21 tells us. Mary will give birth to a son and you have to give him the name Jesus. He will save his people from their sin. Jesus is actually a Hebrew word, Yeshua, which means God saved. So the name of Jesus has significance because Jesus means God saved. Before Jesus came, all men, when they die the physical death, they go through the spiritual death. They go to hell. And it's only when Jesus came that he formed the bridge between man and a holy God, and that man can be reconciled to God because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross in our place. And why only Jesus can save man? Because only God can save us, and Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is also fully man, and he can empathize with us. So God's plan was that he was pleased that he wanted to dwell his fullness, the fullness of God into Jesus, so that Jesus can reconcile man to him through his blood shed on the cross. And what happened at the cross? You know, last few days, I met a few friends. They tell me that they want to go to Japan. Many people going to Japan. And they tell me that before they go, they actually go to the money changer. They take the Malaysian ringgit, they go to the money changer, give them Malaysian ringgit, the money changer give them back Japanese yen so that they can use the Japanese yen when they are in Japan. In the same way, brothers and sisters, what happened at the cross is that there's a great exchange that takes place. Our sin that we have carried all our life at the cross, when Jesus died, Jesus took our sin in his body on the cross. that when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, all our sin in his body died. And when he rose righteous, he gave his righteousness to us. So brothers and sisters, at the cross, the great exchange that took place was the righteous died for the unrighteous, so that the unrighteous will have the righteousness of God. And so that when we die, we don't die the spiritual death, that we can go to heaven. And finally, I want to share with you the story of a twins exchange. There was one in a fishing village, a very poor family, father, mother, and a son, two sons, twin son, identical son. One day the father was fishing in the sea, there was a storm, the father drowned and died. So the mother was very poor and to have to take care of these two twins. They were identical. The elder twin was a good twin. He was obedient to the mother, he took care of the mother, he helped the mother, he go to school, he studied hard, he was good to everybody. Then his younger twin was a bad twin. He never go to school, he scold the mother, he disobeyed the mother, and when he go to school, he fight with people, he became a gangster. So one day, the bad twin was fighting with another boy. And in the fight, he accidentally took a stone and hit the boy's head. And there was bleeding and the boy died. And then he was scared because his hand was full of blood. His clothes was full of blood. His face was full of blood. His shoe was full of blood. He ran home. He was scared because the boy has died. And the boy, father, is the head man. And he know that they will hang him. They will hang him because he has killed the son of the head man. So the younger twin went back. The bad twin went back. He met the brother. And he told the brother what happened. And the brother said, no problem. There's no problem. Don't worry. Take out your shirt, take out your trouser, take out your shoe, leave it here. Go and bathe, comb your hair nicely. Meanwhile, the elder brother took the bloodstained clothes, took the bloodstained trouser, took the bloodstained shoe, he wore it, and then he smeared his face with blood, his hand with blood. And so the brother bathed, and then the brother took and wear his shirt, his clean shirt. So when the head man and other people came to the house, they saw that this brother, the elder brother full of blood, was guilty, and they hang him. They hang the elder brother who's a good twins. But before the elder brother was hanged, he told the younger brother, I took your place. I was hanged in your place. I died in your place. Now, from today onwards, you must live the life of my life. You must not live the life of your own life that is bad. Brothers and sisters, that is what Jesus did for us. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully man. And because of that, Jesus can save man. The first coming of Jesus, the Bible tells us, is to save humanity, not to judge humanity. However, the Bible in Revelation tells us that Jesus will come again in the future. And when Jesus comes the second time, he comes not to save humanity, he comes to judge humanity. So we must be prepared for the coming of Jesus the second time. Let us pray. Father Lord, thank you for your word that reaches deep into our heart, that you indeed love us with the agape love that is unconditional and sacrificial. We thank you for the gift of salvation that is free for all of us, but yet is costly to you because it cost the death of your Son under man's hand. And this morning I know that God is speaking to some of us in this auditorium. And if you feel there's a tug in your heart, or you feel your body is strangely warmed or on fire or burning, Jesus may be speaking to you. Jesus wants to die for you. Jesus wants you to have eternal life through faith by grace. If you are that person, please don't miss the opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I will give you a few seconds to reflect and consider that if you are the one that Jesus spoke to this morning, will you raise up your hand so that I can pray for you? Will you raise up your hand to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Thank you, Jesus. I see some hands are raised. Father Lord, you see the hands that are raised as they want to yield their life to our Lord Jesus who died for us 2,000 years ago on the cross. As they confess their sin and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may you bless them. And as they commit their life, may you guide them and journey with them for the rest of their life. And for others who want to recommit our life, because we hear afresh, the birth of Jesus Christ was very meaningful for humanity. If you want to rededicate and recommit your life, will you also raise your hand? And I want to pray for you as well. Thank you, Jesus, for the hands that are raised. Will you raise your hand as a sign of commitment that you want to start the new year 2025 afresh with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you raise your hand? Our Father in heaven, you see the hands that are raised, and as they surrender and recommit their lives to you for the coming year, may you bless them, watch over them, and provide for all their needs and protect them wherever they are, and bless them as they go through many challenges in life, that they will trust in you and depend on you alone. Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for your presence in our midst this morning. We thank you for you are the one that paid the price and that we are reconciled to God by your blood. We thank you and praise you once again. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.